look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul has spent two entire chapters, 8 and 9, talking about this one offering. And the offering was not for the church at Corinth, but it was to go to others. So we draw from that, it was a mission offering, okay? And we have given it the name, Faith Promise Giving. Some people call it Grace Giving. It doesn't really matter what you call it, as long as you practice it, amen? Let me give you my personal testimony about Faith Promise. In 1968, I was home on furlough from Japan, and I was preaching at the Marquette Manor Baptist Church in Chicago. And Dr. Wayne Van Gilderen had a man by the name of Dr. Billy McCarroll to come and introduce Faith Promise Giving to the church that he pastored. And I don't know if the church got it or not, but I got it, okay? Now, I can still remember the pastor saying, or the pastor that taught about missions saying, number one, it's simple. And I thought, I like that. And then he said, it's successful. And I thought, I like that. And then he said, it's scriptural. And then he went on to expound in three different sermons, 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9. We're going to look at chapter 9 and verses 6 through 8, okay? You have your Bible open? Let's look at it. Say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Now in that verse we have the principles involved in faith promise giving. In verse 7 he said, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And in that verse, we have the purposing of the giver. Okay? And then in verse 8, and God is able. And isn't that a good verse? And Paul could have said, God is able to do anything. And he could. He's omnipotent. But he's talking about giving and receiving. And he said, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always may abound to every good work. So let's look at those involved. He which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Proverbs 11, verses 24 and 25 says, there is that scattereth. Now, this is an agricultural illustration. Talking about a farmer. There is a farmer that scattereth. Okay? In other words, he just sows seed. And yet increaseth. Now, that's a wonderful thing. Amen. Faith promise giving is a seed we sow. And because of that, we are going to reap a harvest. After the farmer sows the seed, he doesn't say, well, that's the end of those seed. It's falling into the ground. That's it. No, no. He knows that that seed is going to produce something. This I say, which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. So look at the principles, four simple principles. Even the little children, if they were in here today, could understand these. Number one, we reap what we sow. Pretty simple, amen. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Number two, we reap more than we sow. Thank God for that. Amen. Now, I'm from Kentucky, and we don't know much about wheat, but we know a lot about corn. I used to tell people when I was a boy, sometimes my dad sold our corn by the quart. You'll get that later, okay? He made whiskey out of it, okay? But here's a great illustration. You take one grain of corn. Nothing could be more insignificant than that. And you put that grain of corn in the ground. And the first thing that happens, it dies. But in dying, it produces a stalk of corn. And each of the stalks of corn will have at least two ears of corn. And every stalk will produce about 1,500 grains of corn. Wow. You're going to reap a whole lot more than you sow. But you are going to reap in proportion as you sow. The more you sow, the more you're going to reap. And by the way, you're going to reap after you sow. I have some friends that expressed to me some things that indicate that they want to reap before they sow. I had a friend say to me one time, and he's a good man. He said, Brother says, if I ever win the Reader's Digest sweepstakes, I'm going to give a lot of money to missions. And I got all excited because I know a lot of people's won that, don't you? No. Now, evidently somebody wins it. But what he was saying, if I could reap something first, I'd start something. But it doesn't work like that. Given it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For the same measure that you meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. So I want us to dwell on this thought this morning. Why should I give to Faith Promise? Number one, because God said do it. Look at it again. Verse 7. Every man, and by the way, he's not talking about gender. Sometimes you read that, the women say, amen, let the man give. Okay. No, he's not talking about gender. What he's saying is, and I hope even the lower classes in their Sunday school will teach the children about faith promise giving. What he's saying is this, every man, every woman, every boy, every girl ought to give something to missions. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart. What does it mean to purpose in your heart? It means to think about it. Contemplate. You've been doing that. To pray about what you should give. And by the way, it doesn't say every man as he can figure out from his budget. Okay? It is a faith promise gift. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart. Think about it. Contemplate. Talk to your family about it. Every person, every man, every woman, every boy, every girl. Why should I give to missions? Number two, the missionaries are dependent on my giving. Now, your church supports several missionaries, many missionaries. Thank God for that. And you have some missionaries in the conference this week that you do not support. Why should I give to missions? Because the missionaries are dependent upon me giving. Number three, there are 8.1 billion people on planet Earth. Conservatively speaking, three-fourths of them have never one time seen a Bible, never one time heard a gospel message. Those people are dependent on our giving. So people can go to them. And number four, when I give to missions, I am obedient to God. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Then look at verse 8. And God is able. Now, he didn't say that your company is able. He didn't say that the United States government is able. They're so far in debt, they're not able to do anything. He didn't say that the state of Texas is able. Now, you may be a rich state. I don't know about that. But I do know that it says, and God is able. What does that mean? That means when I take this faith promise commitment card, and I'm sure everyone has one today. Why don't you just hold up your card if you've got one, okay? Just hold them up, shake them, wave them a little bit. If the ushers are around, maybe the ones that are not waving the card, maybe you could get the faith promise to them. But before this Sunday school is over, I hope everybody has a faith promise card, okay? Notice what it says. My faith promise commitment for world missions. In other words, this money is not to be used at the Worth Baptist Church for your electric bill, for your pastor's salary. That's the tithe, okay? And if every member would give one-tenth of everything God gives you, the local church would never have a financial problem. That's God's plan for the church. Bring you all the tithe into the storehouse. And the storehouse is the local church. And as we do that, but this is for world evangelization. Either supporting missionaries or working on some missionary cause, okay? Notice what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10, 15, and 16. When your faith is increased. Now, it'd be awfully easy to say to the missionary, well, God's called you, just have faith and go ahead. But Paul says, talking to the church, when your faith is increased, we shall be enlarged by you. In other words, we'll be able to preach the gospel in the regions beyond. When your faith is increased. My personal testimony is 1968. I made a faith promise commitment of $5 a week. And you could say, well, Brother Sisk, you didn't have much faith, did you? But in 1968, I was a missionary in Japan. Okay? And my total support, and modern day missionaries don't believe this, but I've got statements to prove it, was $500 a month. So $5 a week, it did take some faith. Now here's what I did. The second year I doubled my faith promise to $10 a week. When your faith is increased, the third year I doubled it again to $20 a week. Then the fourth year, I doubled it again to $40 a week. And then I got to thinking, if I keep doubling it, it won't be long till I'll be committing $1 million a year. And that would probably be beyond me. That would not be beyond God. But think about it, since 1968, and let me ask you a question, okay? How many of you right now are participating in Faith Promise Giving? You're participating in Faith Promise Giving right now, okay? Then my exhortation to you this morning is to increase your giving. I began with $5 a week, then $10 a week, then $20 a week, then $40 a week. Now, I couldn't keep doubling it. But since 1968, I have increased my faith promise giving by at least $5 a year. So figure it out, okay? Now, I couldn't start there. I could start with $5 a week. But as I was faithful to give what little I could, God was faithful to increase my receipt, what I received, so that I could give more. Somebody said one time to me, he said, Brother Don, do you give to get? And I thought about it, and I said, yeah. I give to get so I can give more. Not so I can heap it up on my own. I don't care about that. But the more I get, the more I can give. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, to pray about it, think about it. Why should I give to missionaries? Lost people need to hear the gospel. 8 billion people on planet Earth. 2/3 of them have never one time heard the gospel message. Somebody needs to go to them. And if they go, then somebody has to support them. Then I think one of the main reasons is this. When I give to Faith Promise Giving, I'm obeying God. And by the way, obedience is better than sacrifice. Paul said here, every man, every woman, every boy, every girl. I remember me saying one time about Virginia. I said, now Virginia has her own faith promise commitment. She does not work. But she has her own faith promise giving. When I got home that day, Virginia said, Don, who washes your clothes? Who cleans the house? Who does the cooking? So from then on, I was quick to say, Virginia does not work outside the home for money. All right. But she has her own faith promise. Every man, every woman, every boy, every girl. Isn't that wonderful? God gives us the privilege, every one of us, to give something to mission. The rich are to give. The poor are to give. Nobody's too poor. You remember the poor widow? She gave 2 mites. That's all she had. But she gave. Now, if 2 mites is all you have, thank God for that. I heard about a church. They were taking commitments to build a building. Everybody made their commitments. There was an old miser in the church, very wealthy. And he got up at the end of the commitment and said, "Brethren, I will give the widow's mite." And one of the women in the church jumped up and started shouting. She said, "Praise God, we can build the building and pay cash because the widow gave all she had." Now, if the widow's mite's all you have, that's great. That's okay. That's good. But God's been real good to most of us, has he not? Every man according as he purposes in his heart. So let him give. Pray about it. Think about it. And I hope this morning that as you make your faith promise commitment, that you will realize and God is able to make all grace abound toward you. When I make my commitment, week after week, I give it. Then I can claim, verse 8, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Why should I give to mission? Everybody here this morning should give something to mission. Your goal, the pastor said, and I'm sure with the help of deacons and others, but the pastor said the goal of just faith promise giving at $500,000. How do we do that? Every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, praying and then giving what God lays on your heart. Thank you. God bless you.